Good evening, everyone. So we are going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 18. Now, the key text is going to be Proverbs 18:13. And that verse says, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." He who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame. And as we look at Proverbs 18:13 and we recognize the importance of this verse, the importance of its instruction, we know that it is concerning our tongue. We know that it is concerning what we do with our tongue and how we act. And this is going to be a sermon on training your tongue. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come now knowing that we need you. And Lord, you've given us a tongue. You've made us the way we are. You've formed us. And so, Lord, you meant for us to use our tongue. But Lord, we also know that our hearts can do wicked things and be drawn into wickedness. And so we know, Lord, that our tongues can say wicked things and be drawn into doing things with our tongue that are really evil. And Lord, we need your wisdom. We need your grace and your mercy to forgive us. And we need your word to teach us what to do. Lord, help us to train our tongue. And Lord, we pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen. James 3:6 says, "The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course of his life on fire. It is itself set on fire by hell." James is pointing us to the fact that when we deal with the tongue, it has got to be guarded. In Psalm 141 that we read just a little bit earlier, and that we prayed afterwards, in Psalm 141, David pleads, "Set a guard on my tongue. Lord, set a guard on my tongue." And so we need to be careful with our tongue. A little later in James, he asks the question, "Can both fresh and salt water flow from the same spring?" You see, when we deal with our tongue, we curse sometimes and make fun of people and say things we ought not to. And then we praise God with the same tongue, doing those same things, that blessings to God and all those things. And James makes the point that how can blessing and curse come from the same tongue? The point is that it's not the tongue really that's the problem. It's the sin in our hearts that is revealed by the folly of our tongue. It's the sin in our hearts that's betrayed by what we say and what we do. Y'all are impressed with this, aren't you? He's stunned. It's great. But it's really important. It's really key that we understand the importance of how we deal with our tongue. Much of chapter 18 in Proverbs has some great insights into the role of our tongue in revealing our heart. And so we'll go through much of chapter 18 tonight, hitting on those key verses. And I'll say a little bit about each one. What I would suggest to you, especially as we've now gone through all the series that we're going to in Proverbs, what I would suggest to you is that you would take Proverbs over the next month. December will be starting soon. And you can take Proverbs at any point and according to whatever date is on the calendar. So the day you could start, you could do it today and start the 19th. So you'd read Proverbs 19. And take that proverb and read it for that day. And the next day, read the next proverb and so on. In that way, you keep that wisdom before you. Well, anyway, tonight we're going to be looking at 18, as I've said. We'll run through most of chapter 18 tonight so we might train our tongue. But you understand, as the book of James points out, the issue is really the need to have a heart trained to respond to the work of God. It is the wisdom and work of God that helps us to avoid foolish speech and promote holy and open communication. In a cardiovascular exercise, in getting aerobic workout, we like to get our heart rate up to a certain level, right? Most of you sort of know about these things, right? You want to get your heart rate up. That's the point where your heart is beating at a certain rate per minute, and you just want to keep it at that level in order to get a really good workout. So you set a target range, and then you monitor your heart while you're working out to find out, did I do it right? Is it good? And you know, check here, and if you don't feel a pulse, then you know there's something else wrong. And so every so often, you're trying to check and make sure that this is all working right. Since the heart is the target for spiritual change, then we can gauge our level of spiritual fitness by reviewing our words. Let me say that again. Since the heart is the target for spiritual change, we can gauge our level of spiritual fitness by reviewing our words. What do we say during the day? What do we say to our spouse, to our kids, to our friends, to our coworkers? What is our speech about? That's the way to gauge our spiritual fitness. So using Proverbs 18 and a few other verses found just before and just after, let's examine the effect of our words. If we look at Proverbs 18, we'll recognize there's sort of four areas. One is we are judged by our words. The second area that we'll see a little bit up on the slide, don't worry, that we are condemned by our words. Another area is that we should listen to others' words. And then another area that Proverbs 18 focuses on is that we should think before uttering the words that we say. So let's get to the first one. We are judged by our words. We can all cross the line with our tongue, can't we? We can all go just a little too far with what we say. And it's important to know where that line is and not to cross it, so that we don't offend people, so that we don't cause offense to somebody, and so that we don't hurt who we are talking to, who we are communicating with. Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions." Talk radio might be a common place that we see example of this. I listen to talk radio regularly. Ask Shelley. She probably gets sick of it. She turns it to music every so often. I like to have it, hear people's opinions. But it's very interesting because some people get on and you can tell they just haven't thought about their opinion. They just wanted to say it. And they just think everybody else deserves to hear them. And they just want to be impressed with their own voice. So I listen. And many opinions are not informed and are not thought through very well. And like this proverb says, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. But in our own lives, we ought to realize how crucial it is that we examine our words. They mean things. When they come out, we need to be careful that they're right, that we've studied and thought about things. Proverbs 18:4 says, "The words of a man's mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a babbling brook." Beneath our words are some really deep and often dark things, aren't they? When you think about the words that you say, when you think about the things that you actually tell someone, often they can reveal some pretty dark things. And we don't like to be exposed, and we try not to say too much. But sometimes the things that come out of our mouth can be quite shocking. But God's wisdom, and that's the second part of this proverb, but the fountain of wisdom is a babbling brook. God's wisdom is clear and alive. He's not trying to hide wisdom from us. It's like that babbling brook. It's lively. It's clear. It's right there in front of you. God wants us to have wisdom. He offers it freely, according to James 1. He gives it to us so that we might understand and be wise. Proverbs 18:6 says, "A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating." We can get into too much trouble over our foolish words, and we therefore ought to be careful with our words. Remember, we can be judged by our words. It's not always the case that we ought to be silent, otherwise we'd not be able to speak the truth in love. But we should be careful about what we say. We should be careful about how we come across to people with the truth. There's also Proverbs 18:7 and Proverbs 19:1. I'll just quickly read them and not comment. "A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul." And Proverbs 19:1 says, "Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse." We need to be careful because we will be judged by our words. Next, we can be condemned. We can condemn others by our words. We can hurt somebody else and bring condemnation on them by the things that we say. You can bring a lot of pain into someone's life by your careless words. You know the child's little taunt, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me." You guys say that here, right? Shake your head. No. Yes? Okay, good. Just want to make sure, because I know it's an American thing that we say. And it's not true, though, is it? Words can hurt us. Words can be hurtful. People's comments about us can be quite condemning. Careless words can condemn. Proverbs 17:28 says, "Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue." I really like that one. Mostly because I need to remember it so often. And just shut up. It's always a good thing. I think this speaks for itself, but we don't remember it often enough and at the right time, do we? Sometimes we say things and immediately you're just sorry for what you just said. I mean, you know, you say something to your spouse or you say something to your kids and right away you knew that was the wrong thing to say. And you should have kept silent. And you have regrets over things that you've said that once you've said them, you can't take them back, can you? And it's hard. Silence is golden. That could be the watchword. But wisdom from God is what we really need so that we know how to speak. If you think you know all the facts, ask a few more questions and then speak. Have a considered opinion. Have a considered instruction to give someone so that they might be helped. Proverbs 18:8. "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts." This is similar to the previous one. And that we should be careful. And that we should say and pass on those things that are good and helpful to others. If you will not say your juicy piece of information to the person first, the person that you have this information about, in other words, this person that you might gossip about, if you wouldn't say it to them first, then maybe you shouldn't say it at all. Often in churches, we're famous for gossiping. We can say the wrong things, or we can say things to people that are extremely hurtful because we say them behind their back and we wouldn't be willing to say it to their face. Rumors are painful and they always linger. When we say hard words about somebody rather than to somebody, it has a double impact and it really causes them pain especially when they hear about it third or fourth or fifth hand. And by then, there's no way to trace back those words. There's no way to stop that kind of rumor. It's quite hard. The damage lingers. And so that's the effect of our words. Now let's examine the importance of other people's words. Hearing from other people, listening to other people. We should listen to other people's words. Proverbs 18:13, that's our passage for tonight. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. How many times I've fallen into this trap with my children. Maybe you have too. I'll describe a scenario to you. You hear screaming or crying coming from some part of the house. And automatically, the one that's not screaming and crying is the guilty one, right? Isn't that how it goes? Yes? Okay, good. When we look and we examine things, then we start to understand. But when we make snap judgments, when we answer before listening, then we are being fools. And we should be ashamed. We must listen to another's words, ask questions, and repeat the responses so that we really do hear what the other person is saying, so that we really do understand the situation that they're in. If we don't, it's a shame on us, and we are being fools. Proverbs 18:15, the heart of a discerning person acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. We should listen for wisdom. We should listen to somebody who wants to talk to us and tell us or help us by admonishing us even, by giving us hard words. The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. Proverbs 18:17. The first to present his case seems right till another comes forward and questions him. There's an interesting one. Let me tell you just a quick little story about that. One day, my sister and I, my sister was in her room and I was in my room, and I hear the cat, this is when I was little, by the way, I hear the cat crying out in her room, so I went to open the door a little bit, and I peek in there, and my sister is dressing the cat up in doll clothes. Only the cat doesn't want to be dressed up in doll clothes, and I had the door open just wide enough that the cat bolted out of the room, shot through the door, but not before my sister slammed the door on this much of the cat's tail and cut it off. And so the cat's tail is on the other side of the door. My sister is screaming and blood is going everywhere, and the cat's going down the hall and there's blood going everywhere. My mom immediately hears the screaming, the crying, and the cat, seeing the cat blood everywhere. Well, she didn't know it was the cat's blood. She didn't know what it was. And she starts yelling at me, because immediately I was the guilty one. You see, when we look at a situation, when we examine it, we should understand what's gone on before we comment. Now, I got yelled at, and I copped it. But that's okay, because I probably deserved it somewhere else in a previous life or something like that. No, I don't believe in reincarnation. But it's obvious in that situation that there was nothing that I did, and yet I copped the guilt or immediately got an accusation. But see, we need to be a little bit discerning, don't we? When we come across a situation, we need to really find out what's going on before we comment, before we make accusations, before we let the words fly. We should listen to another's words. Not only that, we should think before we utter those words. Proverbs 17:27 says, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. Our thoughts are often a little slower than our tongue to give a response, aren't they? How many times have you said something and then immediately you knew it was wrong? When we feel ourselves welling up with emotion, we should be careful about the words that we're tempted to say. Let me say that again. When we feel ourselves welling up with emotion, maybe it's even a good emotion, we should be careful about the words that we're tempted to say. Proverbs 18:20. From the fruit of his mouth a man's stomach is filled, and with the harvest from his lips he is satisfied. If you have to eat your words, they'll not taste so good the second time. If you have to take back your words, they won't taste so good the second time. This verse indicates that we'll eat the fruit of our words. And I'd rather eat sweet fruit, wouldn't you? I'd rather have helpful things to say to somebody so that somewhere along the way, they might be encouraged. They might be helped. Proverbs 18:21 is quite like it. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. It's like the previous verse, only much more poignant, isn't it? Your tongue, your words, have the power of life and death. Our words can kill, or our words can bring life. They're just like a weapon. And we need to be careful before we use our tongue, before we speak. Proverbs 18:23. A poor man pleads for mercy, but a rich man answers harshly. It is pride in our hearts that causes us to answer, to speak in a harsh tone. It's pride. If we're answering back to somebody and we say it with a harsh tone, it reveals something about our hearts, doesn't it? It's a gauge where we see what's going on. When we answer in a harsh tone, we're being prideful. Excuse me. If we would assume a poor and a humble spirit, our words would follow in humility. This is the final sermon in our quick run through Proverbs, studying relationships that make life work. The key to all understanding and applying the wisdom of Proverbs, and indeed the wisdom of God in your life, is first of all to know Jesus. That's the key. When we apply wisdom, as we saw from even this morning, when we apply the law to our lives, it doesn't work unless we know Jesus. Jesus is for us wisdom from God. That is, He is our righteousness and holiness and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. That's from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. Any effort we make to train our tongue and to target our heart cannot be effective by relying on our own willpower or decision to do better next time. We are only changed by the power of God under the instruction of the Word of God. In order to really enjoy the relationships that make life work, in order to really be satisfied with these relationships, our boast must be in the power of God to change our lives, to change our hearts. It won't happen any other way. Be truly wise then. Be truly wise. Since the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as Proverbs 1:7 says, consider what God says to be the most important words that you hear. Consider what He says to be the most important words that you hear, and then submit to follow His ways that were set out in His Word. Submit to the Word of God. When we begin with fearing the Lord and consider His Word important for all of life, then it functions to calibrate. It functions so that we might set the gauge of our heart, our tongue, so that we might set it to follow the Lord. If we just went by what is acceptable in our society, if we just went by what's acceptable in present company, if we just went by what's acceptable at our workplace, if we just went by what's acceptable at school, the standard would constantly change, wouldn't it? Things that you would say in church, you might not say in your workplace, and vice versa. Things that students you might say at school, you wouldn't want to repeat to your parents. The standard changes. But when we go by God's word, speaking the truth in love is right on every occasion and in every circumstance. It doesn't change. And when we fail to do that, we know that we need to repent and ask God's Spirit to change us, right? See, it doesn't matter wherever we are. When we speak the truth in love, we know that it's the right thing to do. Whether we're at work, whether we're at school, whether we're at home, or whether we're in church, it's the right thing to do in all those situations. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it's the way of salvation as well. It's the way we walk in our salvation. Those who are saved are free to obey the Lord and follow His wisdom. And you will then find God's wisdom guiding you, leading you, taking you along, showing you the way to go every moment of your life. Because as Psalm 85:9 says, His salvation is near to those who fear Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank You. We thank You for preserving the record of Proverbs to us so that we might understand how to apply the wisdom that You reveal in Your Word, and that we might understand more of how broad and how wide and how all-encompassing Your Word is in our lives. It touches every area. Lord, tonight we've seen that it touches our tongue, and that more deeply it even touches our heart. Lord, we ask that You would help us to live as people who are changed in our hearts by Your Spirit, so that we might be changed in our tongue when we speak to one another, and when we speak to others outside, and when we speak to our families, and when we speak to our co-workers. Lord, we ask that You would remind us of the words that we've heard tonight, the wisdom that we've heard tonight, so that we might go forward and really be living as wise men and women, wise children, wise people of God. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Christ. Amen. We have one final song to sing, and we're going to be singing in praise, really, to God's Word, ancient words. And we're going to be singing together, and so I think it's up here. Is it? Did we get him up? Good. Yes? Good. Let's stand and sing, please.